begin our permanent community impact fund board meeting. Today is a funding meeting. What we will do is we'll start by having everyone introduce themselves. Greg, we'll start with you.
Greg Galecki, I represent the Water Quality Board.
Caleb Snow, I represent the Board of Water Resources.
Claudia Jarrett, Sanford County Commissioner, representing County AOG.
Bruce Adams, San Juan County Commissioner, representing Southeastern Utah AOG.
I'm Isanade from St. George, Utah, Commissioner for UDOT.
Staff to the board. Candace Powers, staff to the board.
I'm Gordon Walker with the Division of Housing and Community Development. Richard Ellis, State Treasurer.
Jake Black, Carbon County Commissioner, representing Carbon County.
Michael Key from the Land and Tri-Dale, representing Yuma County.
300 people.
Tim Matson, Kane County Commissioner, representing Clyde County Association of Governments.
Ronald Henderson, Kane County Commissioner, representing Yuma Basin AOG.
Tom Roberts, Attorney General's Office, I act as legal advisor to the board.
Gail Gardner, staff to the board.
Chad West, staff to the board.
Brenda Brown, financial staff to the board.
Good morning, Keith. How's your community development division?
Michelle Babora, Housing and Community Development Division. Justin Smith, Housing and Community Development.
Mike Hanson, Rural Planning Group.
Shannon Ellsworth, Rural Planning Group.
Paul Overly, Rural Planning Group.
I'm John Mackey with the Division of Water Quality.
I'm Bill Prater, I'm Bond Counsel to the board.
Great, thank you very much. We would like to welcome everybody here today. I'm not sure, Candace, whether we... See, I take my cues from Candace, she tells me what to do. So this is a funding meeting today, and I've already had multiple requests to make this short. And there are two ways we can do that. One is not fund anything, and the other would be to move right along. So what we will do is, there are some issues. We have sufficient funds to fund what we need to fund this time. And we have a little over $7 million that will be left over from the funding meeting. You'll notice in the, this is on page, on the funding chart, that with our bonus fund, it's at $41,000. And this is basically through balancing by the staff. I missed one important thing. We have a new face. Ron, you've been coming to every meeting for the last 7 months in anticipation of someone's death. I don't know why. But we'd like to welcome you. And if you'd like to say a couple of words, feel free.
I'm happy to be here. I like this process. I think it's really good for early.
His speeches are usually longer.
But he wants to get out of the meeting also. Okay. We do have some extra money, and actually there's a little more that's not shown on this sheet. So if we do move the $7 million into the infrastructure set-aside fund, as you see at the bottom there, we put that on the summary sheet so that you know what the status is. So there are some issues today. It's not a totally straightforward agenda. So we'll go, we'll take the projects as they come, and if there's discussion on them, we'll summarize as much as we can, but there are some we need to talk about. So we'll jump right, the first item of business is the approval of the minutes of January 8th, 2015.
So moved.
Nadia Zanotti.
Well, I'll second, but I have a point of clarification.
All right, so you said you're seconding that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Page 212.
212.
Very last paragraph. Second sentence, it says that the infrastructure set aside
fund at the end of each meeting, isn't it at the end of each trimester? Each trimester, yes.
For funding cycle or something.
Yes. Makes it too hard to do it the other way. Any other discussion on the motion as it stands? I'm assuming...
I'll make the motion as corrected.
As corrected and
seconded.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you very much. So the first project is Naples City, new fire station. The total request was $2,193,757. $630,000 year, 1.5% loan. And a grant of $1,593,757. If any of you has any questions about any of these projects as we go through them, we may or may not take a motion on each one. We'll just move quickly. The second item is Schofield Reservoir Special Service District Sewer System Improvements, Electrical Panel Upgrade. This is $142,015 year, 1.5% loan. Chair will entertain a motion to approve those two sources of funding.
So moved.
Jim Matson.
Second.
And Galen Snow. Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Now, item number three is the Sevier County Municipal Building Authority. This was forwarded to the list as $1,664,838,030 year, 1.5% loan, and $838,664. The board received the letter. That was for 16 beds. The board received a letter requesting that we do only 8 beds, but give them all grants. It is in your packet. So I'm going to ask, do you want to change what was there? Or there's two or three options. One is to approve it as requested, as put forward on the list. The second would be, as they requested, half the project but more grants and all grants. Or the third would be to, if they want half the beds, just give them half grant, half loan on that request. I guess we could invite them up to talk, or it's all right here.
What's the pleasure of the board? Did y'all read the letter? Are there any questions on the letter that's presented?
Fine. Let's invite the Sevier County Municipal Building Authority to come up. Please.
My name is Gordon Topham. I'm a county commissioner in Sevier County.
Brian Whipple, I'm the director for Central Utah Counseling Center that serves the 6 county area for mental health and substance abuse services.
Quickly.
What's your request, please?
Yeah.
Quickly. Otherwise, we'll just vote.
Okay. What we asked for before, we understood we probably ought to go for the total thing we think we may need to do in the end. That's why we asked for 16 beds. And we could probably fill 16 beds, but the ultimate need right now is we have 3 counties that have no place to put these people that have certain mental health problems to deal with. We have been sending them to another hospital up in Utah County, and 1 year that cost us over $600,000, I believe. It just fluctuates. Last year, I think it was $250,000. It's just very expensive, something we could do there. We also think that the county thinks that we could help in our jail if we've got people that that are there that are mentally ill that should really be in a treatment facility, but we don't have a treatment facility that we could use it for that. We do need it. The situation right now with the Central Utah Counseling Center funding, they are stretched as far as they can go on payments. All the counties other than the three that we're talking about here, Sevier, Paiute, and Wayne County, have a facility within reason for them to use in our six-county area.
So, Commissioner, just one question. If you're paying out $600,000 in 1 year to take care of these folks, how many years does that take before you've paid off the entire loan?
Well, maybe I should have explained further. That made us dip into our reserve, which we're required to keep by law, a certain amount for reserve, and it caused us to dip into that. And I don't know that. I don't do the statistics on the financials, so...
Yeah, we used a little over $300,000 out of our reserve that year, and if we kept doing that every year, we'd go bankrupt, and the counties would have to they would have to make it up, because the counties are responsible for providing those services. And so, if we can't run our business in a financially sound way, then the county has to make up the difference.
Just a question on this. You know, the precedent and you know, what we do one place a lot of times affects how we so we try and treat all communities with consistency the best we can. And the 50% grant, 50% longness, I think is fairly consistent. But I guess the question I would have would be if we were to you know, to move forward with the request as the amended request, I anticipate that down the road that you would want to be, you know, coming back to that other part of it. And I guess if we were to do that, my feeling is if you were to come back, that should at least be the loan down the road if you need to come back.
Yeah. There, you know, in the letter, there's about $250,000 we've already invested in buying the land, anticipating building this facility that's already in the mix. And then there's probably a little bit of a debt we could afford, but not much. I mean, we're pretty much to the limit of that. And I understand, you know, you set precedents and stuff like that. I've seen that.
You know. I guess the question would be what your amended request is that we give this all in grant is if we were to do that, I would like myself just to come back down the road with that part of the other part of it being loan at that point in time.
Bruce, in your letter, you're talking about a tri-county, it's kind of a tri-county facility, and I'm pretty aware of the financial condition of Wayne and Paiute. They don't have much tax base, and I know Wayne is heavily impacted by federal properties, and they don't have a lot of money, but are they a partner in this facility, or is this just your facility, and then you allow those two counties to put people in the facility?
They're a partner, and they're part of the Central Utah Counseling Center. They are part of the six counties that make that up, and that's who this will be funding this. So they are a partner in that way. And you're right. You know, just a quick example in Wayne County. Wayne County has 3% of their land is public land that they can tax. And of that, 75% is greenbelt, which means all of that 75% ends up being, I think it's $760 a year in property tax. So that other 25% is what runs their government, other plus the Pelt and Secure Rural Schools, which... We don't know if that comes
from us. But Wayne and Paiute are both producing counties, small, but they do produce a little bit of revenue.
Richard, so when you talk about these other counties, what's their percentage of participation in the cost of operating this, each county?
It's by population, so that's their percentage.
Pretty small.
Yeah.
pretty small percent of the overall thing. So if we were to do this as, put it in the same terms, we had a 50-50 grant and loan would be a $450,000 loan, which would be about $160 a month per bed, maybe $165. Doesn't seem like an awful lot of the cost if these beds are full. You say you already have more than you have bed space, so is that an unreasonable burden if it were to be split 50-50?
Well, it does get a little complicated. Most of our funds come from Medicaid. Medicaid will not pay for residential treatment in the housing or, you know, board and room, they don't pay. They will pay for a hospital bed because it's in a hospital, so they pay the full cost. And right now, we're at $1,200 a day at a psych unit. And we do get reimbursement up to a limit because we're a capitated system. Once we go over that limit, then it's an at-risk system and it's at risk to the county, and that's where we lost the money out of our thing. So part of this this tightness is due to how we're funded through Medicaid and how we've you know, leveraged our county and state dollars. Most all our county and state dollars go to buy Medicaid dollars, and then that runs the center and runs our services for the county. So there really is no money for residential. And the tragedy is those residential beds help us save money from the psych units. Keeps people in the community, gives them support there. It's in a lot of ways, it's a much better treatment than sending them to a psych unit up along the Wasatch Front. But Medicaid won't pay for it. And so then, and the counties don't have enough money to really fund it. And our business plan really right now is to try to reduce our debt. There's some really uncertainties that are happening in the state around what's going to happen to funding. We don't even know if the capitated system will continue in the state of Utah, which could really affect the counties and how we do business. And so to take on that much loan, we just feel like it's not wise. And really what we're trying to do is reduce our debt right now. And we think that's a better better risk for the county to do that. So I don't know if that's...
Well, just so the board understands, too, and I think if you do that, this center is funded by Medicaid, but the county has to provide a match that matches this with Medicaid dollars that it helps us with that. So it is a burden on all of six county in doing that. And I just want to applaud the Sevier County MBA for stepping up and wanting to fund this facility to help with the council and the center and provide those beds. And if you look at your other sheet, you'll see that Sevier County is one that has not used a lot of their minimum lease allotment, if you will, and what they generated in revenue and what they have taken out in expense. So I think that warrants a little greater consideration for their request today and grant. I would encourage the board, because I'm intimately aware of the situation there. I do chair the Central Utah Mental Health Board, and this is a critical need. I am concerned whether I can motion to vote on this, Tom. I'm not in the MBA, but I am on the Central Utah Counseling Center's benefits. So I'm just trying to put a plea out to the board to seriously consider the great need that this is and how it will benefit the center.
You know, the one thing that I honestly do not understand, Commissioner, I honestly do not understand, is that when you were talking, you were saying that without the beds, there is a risk of great cost. With the beds, you can save money. In other words, this is a cost-saving mechanism for the counties. And even if you have, there's no reason to think that over the umpteen years, I'm just thinking of this as a need. No one really is addressing the needs here. Everybody's addressing the expense of it, rather than addressing the need. The need is for 16 beds, and they came for 16 beds. And if they don't have 16 beds, they have a possibility of losing $300,000 a year. First, I thought it was more than that, but $300,000 a year is what it cost you when you didn't have those beds. If you have the beds, the cost of the debt is only $34,000. So So from a risk management system, you only have to have 1 year out of 10, and it's a break even. By taking it and building all 16 beds, having the facility, having the capacity to service the people. So if you look at this from the point of view of service and of need, it is less expensive, it will be less expensive for the counties to have all 16 beds and to take on that debt than it is to not do so. That is what I don't understand. I honestly don't understand why you wouldn't be going at it that way. So Mike, we'll go to you.
Mr. Walker, could I answer that question?
Is there an answer?
Yes, there is.
Well, the cost was this, and the cost is this, and other than that, it's something, I won't vote on this. I just don't understand.
Okay, and let me try to explain that a little bit.
You have to come up with, introduce yourself, please.
My name is Farrell Marks. I'm the CFO at Central Utah. And the problem is with the funding sources we get. So let's say, for example, we do save $300,000 in 1 year because we haven't hospitalized that person. The issue is if we hospitalize those people and we have to pay an extra $300,000, that comes out of reserves. If we put them in residential and Medicaid will not pay for it, we still lose the $300,000 because Medicaid reduces the amount of money we get from them because they will not pay for residential. If we lose that out of reserves, $300,000 plus have to pay for residential, then really what happens is we lose it twice. We can lose up to $600,000. So it's really it sounds like doublespeak, I know. It's crazy.
Actually, it's worse than that. Because what you do, if that is the case, if that is the actual consumption, then you're better off to build zero beds and let Medicaid deal with it.
Except,
so let's go back to the board and move on.
Okay.
And I'm going to go to Commissioner McKee.
Well, I would just, the request is, they want to amend the request. And I would make a motion that we approve their amended request and just encourage if they can. I realize they know their situations better than we do. If there isn't funding to be able to set any aside for down the future, because you're probably going to need this down the road, and if there's anything to say toward that, I think it would be a good thing to change. I would move to approve their
second. It's been moved and seconded that we fund the request for $935,792 in a grant to Sevier County Municipal Building Authority for residential treatment facility. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Excuse me. Richard Ellis is opposed. And Jay Potter is opposed. Is there anyone else opposed? Excuse me?
They're grouchy today.
And Commissioner Jarrett abstained. All right.
Those votes are falling off pretty fast.
Annabella, Storm Drain Master Plan, a $24,000 grant. Town of Elsinore, Water System Improvements, $170,000 total, $115,000, 30-year, 1.5% loan, and a $55,000 grant. San Juan Transportation Special Service District, North and South Road Improvements, 4.6 million. I thought I did, but I'd be happy to repeat it if it didn't come out clearly. Town of Elsinore, Water System Improvements, $170,000 total request, $115,000, 30-year, 1.5% loan, $55,000 grant. Sounds like there was a comment to be made on this one.
Bruce was saying that you can skip 6 and 7 and then back in there.
Actually, I don't think I will. I'll take a vote on these two. Is there a motion?
To approve.
Second.
Excuse me?
Second.
All right, it's
Bruce.
You made the motion.
5 and 6, 4 and 5, and the second was Unagi Zanotti. Any discussion on the motions? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? San Juan Transportation Special District, North and South Road Improvements, $4.6 million. 2.1, 15 years, 1.5%, and 2.5 million as a grant. I'll take a motion on that.
I make a motion, Mr. Chairman, to approve.
Second.
Second is withdrawn, Winterton. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, this next one, San Juan Spanish Valley Special Service District. I think a couple of comments need to be made on this so that there's an understanding on this. This is for a water and sewer master plan, a $25,000 grant. This is located in San Juan County. Right now, there's a movement and an attempt to build a processing plant, a sewage treatment plant in Moab. It would be foolish for this board to get in the middle of the building of two plants, even though they're contiguous, and there's nothing else essentially around there. And yet, if I understand this, Bruce, is that this will try and figure out what needs to be done in the San Juan area. It would seem to me that we either should require or at least be aware of this, that rather than trying to fund two sewer systems in two communities just because a county line separates them, would be somewhat redundant on our part. And I would hope that as this comes back and matures over the next year or two, that a regional interlocal agreement be a requirement of CID funding. Because you know that when they come, whoever comes, when they come, will want CID funding.
We've written a letter to the state who is cooperating on building the plant in Moab and ask them, it doesn't make sense to us to build two sewer plants either. Ask them to include in that plan to service the residents in San Juan County, even though there's a county line there. That Spanish Valley Moab area is all one geographically connected area. It doesn't make any sense to us. But up until right now, there's not much cooperation going on between the two service districts, the San Juan County Special Service District and the Grand County people. And so I guess what we were hoping was that this plan could solidify a little bit more what the need was and maybe even let the state know, you know, give them some solid figures why there really should be only one plant deal that this services both areas.
I think it's always disappointing that there tends to be sometimes a lack of cooperation and the responsibility ends at the whatever line is drawn. And I guess it may be that if there is no cooperation, or agreement on that, then I guess what I'm asking is that this board accept that responsibility of encouraging cooperation. We've had that experience with some other communities that have now finally merged. It took them a couple of years to decide that they actually wanted to talk to one another, but it's always amazing how financing helps focus the mind. So, Mr. Mackey, would you have anything you'd like to comment on that? You'd have to come up and introduce yourself and your experience.
Just very briefly, thanks for the opportunity and thanks for the comments. I think that
Mr. Galecki, I don't want to speak entirely for our board, but our board does support regionalization, one plan, not two plans. And we recognize that that's a challenge, just particularly when working across political boundaries. As you know, the Logan project has been delayed because of this very issue. But we support regionalization, and we've talked to the engineers and the folks on both sides of the county line in the case of Moab and Spanish Valley, and we hope and expect that they will try to work together.
I guess I wanted those comments in the minutes so that if there's agreement with the board, and we won't necessarily take a vote on that because we don't have anything to vote on, but that just make it known that this board would be supportive of cooperative agreements between local political jurisdictions.
Point the finger, but I'll just give you some facts.
I can't see any fingers, so unless it's positive, let's just move on.
Well, Grand County School District was having trouble financing their schools, so they came to San Juan School District and wanted to annex those people in Spanish Valley, and it made sense, into their school system so that they could collect the taxes because of those kids in Spanish Valley and San Juan County went to school in Moab. We willingly allow that to happen, but it just seems like it's one-sided.
Thank you very much. San Juan Spanish Valley Special Service District Water Sewer Master Plan, $25,000 grant. Town of Tropic, new fire truck, $310,000. Total request, $100,000, 15-year, 0% interest, and $210,000 grant. Town of Tropic, water system improvements. At the Dr. Good Springs development, we're not going to go into this again because we may not understand it again. $310,000 total request, $155,000 30-year 1.5% loan, and $155,000 grant. And the chair will take a motion on those projects. Jay Potter is
second.
And Claudia Jarrett is the second. Any discussion on the projects? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Any opposed? Thank you very much. Number 10 is the Iron County Municipal Building Authority. They have asked to be placed on the pending list. Town of Kingston, road improvements, $242,000 grant.
Can I ask a question on this number 10? So they just weren't ready today, is that good?
They're not ready to accept the terms that we offered. We actually have two or three projects this time that somewhat concerning. They just want to delay the vote. I mean, the purpose of this meeting is to do what we were going to do. They then have the option of accepting or rejecting. So we'll have them on, we'll put them on the pending list because that's a possibility with our rules, but we won't have them there forever. Town of Kingston, $242,000 grant for road improvements. Enterprise City, the one on Fire Station Edition, has asked to be placed on the pending list, so we will not vote on that. Mona City was pulled, so that is not on the agenda. Wellington, we're doing our best we can, Commissioner McKee. Wellington City is a water tank restoration, which is $151,000 grant. So right now, out of this vote, we are voting on number 11, Town of Kingston, and Wellington City. We only have two. Mr. Thomas.
Mr. Chairman, I assume that your motion is going to include placing those other projects on the pending list. Almost board action normally place them on the pending list at the priority meeting.
we will go back. Actually, I will take a motion on items 11 and 14. Is there a motion?
A motion we move to approve.
Move to approve, and a second by Jay Potter. Discussion on those two items. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Item number 10, Iron County Municipal Building Authority, and item number 12, Enterprise City, require a motion to place them on the pending list. Is there such a motion?
I so move.
Okay. And a second? Jim Nansen and Ron Winterton. The motion and a second. Any discussion on this motion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Mona City, we do not have a letter yet, so. All right, so let's put that on the pending list. The letter's in the mail, I guess.
I'll include that in my motion.
Thank you. Thank you. We'll re-vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Okay, funding meetings used to be simple. Item 15, East Duchesne Culinary Water Improvements District, Water System Improvements, $207,000 grant. The chair will entertain a motion on this project.
So moved.
Second.
East Duchesne, is that in Duchesne County?
Yeah, I got one. Okay. Is it in country?
Yeah. Look to your right.
Your commissioner, right? The Special Service District. Sort of that you don't make the motion to those.
I've made the motion there.
Okay, motion. Is there and Augie is the second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Number 16, Duchesne County Special Service District. Do we have anyone here from the Special Service District? Okay. I have a question on this. And I guess, Ron, you're going to have to help me with this. This is a Bluebell Connector Road. This is $4,464,000 grant. Why would we grant $4.4 million for this road? I don't understand.
Well, the way I understand it, and this portion of the road is part of the restoration. And acquiring the right-of-way to go through that, and there's no tax base for that. They aren't coming in with cash. So my understanding would be that that's where they need to go. We have an area there that contributes to the economy, but not to the infrastructure.
All right, is there a motion to approve this project? All right, Commissioner McKee. Doggy, I'm going to go to someone else, unless as a travel expert you feel that this is a good use of our funds.
It is.
The second is by Nagy. Zanotti. Discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. The next one is Duchesne City. Street improvements, street restoration. We move forward $5.5 million, $1.1 million, 10 years, 0% loan, and a $14,000 grant. This is another project that I do not understand. That we are, in doing this project, we authorize $5.5 million into a community. What's the population? 1,799 people. And I don't understand that
if we're going to do this. I guess I was hoping to have a full discussion, but that would take a motion to bring it up to a full discussion. I don't see going into any community and putting $5.5 million into their road, a small community, or else we will A, soon be out of money, but by doing so, we really take away any budgeting, any management, or any thought process in these projects. What we're seeing, you realize, of course, that in the last 10 years, we have now spent $275 million on roads. I don't know, but it's almost like we're the second DOT in doing this, but I don't know how, I guess this is a philosophical question, how we can continue to do that with projects this size. It would seem to me that you would authorize 20% of this for each of 5 years and allow the community to actually do budgeting preparation. It's not that I'm opposed to doing roads. I'm just concerned if we do everything all at once. And we're going to see another example of this in our next trimester in Carbon County with the City of Helper. So, what do you want to do on this? Do you want to approve it? Claudia?
Your points are well taken, Chairman Walker, but understand that I think all of us commissioners understand how RDMC funds have done nothing. And I think at some point in time, roads have become in such disrepair, and because of the limited amount of C funds that our cities have, they have not been able to keep any of them up. And so if I remember the discussion with Duchesne City and why I voted for it and made the motion in the last meeting, is because I saw prioritization on their maps, and they did confirm that in the discussion. And that's what we've asked. We've asked for prioritization, what are your greatest needs? I think they probably have a lot of impact on large trucks. So I still stand by my original motion and would move this bill away and approve.
Is that a motion to approve this? Is there a second to that motion? Second. It's been moved and seconded that we authorize $5,514,000 to Duchesne County for street improvements. Discussion of the motion, Richard.
Mr. Chair, having not been here last month and missing the discussion, when we talk about prioritization of roads, but that prioritization was still for this full $5.5 million, not breaking it into prioritized phases.
Well, it showed the most critical needs of what they needed. So some were chip seal, some were drainage, some were, you know, other, and it was all broken out by that need throughout the city. So this is not just all for asphalt, it's for multiple things that were evaluated and prioritized.
Understood. I guess my question is, are there phases within that that we have to look at as the highest priority is our initial funding, as opposed to funding priority 1 through 5, even though some is chip seal and some is asphalt replacement and some is grading and those kinds of issues? And again, not having been part of the discussion, I just asked the question.
I think it just precludes coming in again for the next section. I mean, either they can do it now or we do it in each funding cycle to get a call up. So,
Mr. Chair, if I could, I guess that then sets us up that we just took other cities off the list of being able to fund their projects that may have important needs, so we have to think of that also. If we get $5.5 million here, and that'll take 2 or 3 cities that have $1.5 million projects out of the funding cycle for a while, or we eliminate other types of projects that are less needy going forward, fire stations and county health hospitals, those kinds of things. So it's a matter, I guess, how we want to use the funding.
Commissioner McKee, and then Commissioner Jay.
Yes, you know, one of the things that, you know, we bring it up here from time to time. But
please speak to the phone.
Thank you. I know we bring this up from time to time, but one of the challenges that happens in Duchesne County, they don't show the amount of mineral lease money coming from the county, but they're impacted as much as any county there is because of the way the production comes. 76% of oil come in the state of Utah comes out of the human basin. And you know, they are heavily impacted. I'm not saying it's those exact streets that have the impact. How would you divide that? But at the end of the day, Deschenes County is a very heavily impacted county. They don't have federal lands, and federal lands is what really brings in the Middle East revenues. But I guess for that reason, I must support the train to help them out there.
My comments were just two. One is that it really does set a higher precedent as far as our funding goes when we look at these projects traditionally. But also, as you alluded to from experience, these projects that are drawn out with multiple phases inevitably have overrun in them or the inability to complete the project. And that's why I would be more in favor of a phase-in prospect where they would be able to take care of those most pressing needs, and then we would the next one with more current bids, more current pricing, just so that they don't end up short.
I'll tell you where my real concern is, and I've thought about this a great deal. My real concern is we are seeing projects expanded. 2 years ago, this project would have come in for $1.1 million. They would have been very happy to have it. Since we set aside money for the infrastructure program, what we are seeing estimates and programs coming in that take care of everybody's needs. I mean, 100% of the community's needs right now. And it, quite frankly, is we don't have a mechanism right now to understand that. We have instituted mechanisms with our sewer and water projects, but if we go ahead with a project like this, then I probably as it stands now, I mean, I really do think it takes away the budgeting, the management processes of local communities. I mean, it almost creates a dependency. Because as I listened to what was said, that's what I heard. And so I guess one of the things that we would probably have to do as staff is to provide a little better analysis on these. And what that means is that we would probably then, on any road projects, hire a consulting engineer to say what is important, what is not important. Because some of the statements that have been made in some of our road projects in the past months are sometimes difficult to understand. Because as I drive the roads in these communities, I don't see the problems, perhaps in the same viewpoint. That's my concern, is that from a board's point of view, in order to make sure that engineers are not driving this to the ultimate perfection of roads immediately, we would probably have to hire an engineer to review every road project and to make sure that it was correct. Because we have seen examples. As our revenues have gone up, we have seen examples where projects are just made larger and larger and larger, not necessarily efficient, but they're larger because there's money. It's not because it's the highest and the greatest use and the need, it's because there's money and it's an attempt to sop it up. And this is the one time, Jacob, I know you're in the audience, so don't get too swollen-headed here. Last time, we looked at Jacob's project, and in 8 cities, there was a block here, and a block here, and a block here, and a block here, because they plan. I mean, we have held them up and yet they come in for their $1.2 million or $2 million, whatever the number is this year. They do it regularly, but we have confidence that they have done their homework. And I guess that's what my concern here is I'm not convinced of the homework yet. That's all.
Well, again, in comparison, I'll note that.
Excuse me?
just as a comparison, Noel, that that's a special service district in there, but working under a bond. This is a small city, Duchamp City, with a limited seed fund to try to do anything with the road.
Actually, that's eight cities.
But it's still a bond.
That's eight cities that have come together and have voted to tax themselves so that they can have that, which we saw in Salina, where the new mayor came in and voted to tax themselves to get what they wanted. But we don't see that here. We don't see that here. So we have a motion, and we have a second to approve this as funded. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Okay. Let me go back. Ayes, I want to see hands. So it's Winterton, Matson, McKee, Adams. I guess I should just say Sick. Sheriff and Snow. All right, those
who are sick.
Excuse me?
Who are you calling sick?
Let those with ears hear. And those who are opposed to this motion, Jay Potter, Richard Ellis, Nagi Zanati, and Greg Galecki. So it passes on a vote of 6-4. Duchesne City, new fire truck, $47,000 grant. Sevier County Special Service District, Central Utah Rail Project, $100,000 grant. Millard County Fire Truck, new fire truck, $400,000 grant. Central Valley Town Street Management and Improvement Plan, this is a $13,000 grant for planning. Castle Valley Special Service District, $1,205,000, $705,000, 6 years of 1.5% loan, and $500,000 grant. Town of Mayfield, street improvements, $873,000 grant. Town of Huntsville, water system improvements, $606,000 grant. Chair will entertain a motion.
Motion approved.
Bruce Adams and Nagi Zanati is the second. Any discussion on the projects? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you very much. We have a request for special consideration, which will require a vote of the board. The Carbon County Municipal Building Authority 9 Mile Canyon paving project. We authorized $16 million for this project, and there is $2,520,000. It's a different form of overrun. And the requests are for things that really, it's a request for reuse of the funds. Is there a motion to hear this project request?
I motion we listen to the request.
Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
It's been Gaylord Snow. It's been moved and seconded that we hear a request from Carbon County Municipal Building Authority for the repurposing of funds. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So we would invite representatives of Carbon County Municipal Building Authority. This, by the way, is $2,520,000, and the request to repurpose the project. These are totally different projects from the original application, which in every case in the past, and particularly for this magnitude of money, we have requested new applications, which are then considered on their own merits. Also, introduce yourselves, please.
Yes, my name is Jake Miller, commissioner there in Carbon County. With us, we have our county engineer.
My name is Curtis Page.
And from Jones and DeMille Engineering.
Yeah, Brian Barn.
Brian Barn. And would you like us to go ahead and go into the project?
Please.
Okay. The request for special consideration is the reallocation of funds that were previously granted and were extra for two bridges that need to, in essence, be reconstructed, and the salt storage facilities that would benefit those that use the road, namely Carbon and Duchesne counties. And for more of the details, I'd like to let Curtis explain.
First, we'd like to thank the board for funding this project. In 2009, we approached the board with a master plan, and almost all of those items that were identified on the master plan have been realized thanks to this board. The only two items that were on that original master plan list are the Cottonwood Bridge and the Mini-Mod Bridge. The Mini-Mod Bridge was built in the 1940s, and back in 2009 we identified that it was showing stress fractures in the underside of the bridge, along with scouring on the abutments. We also noticed that in recent history that the bridge had seen overtopping events, and so these give us great concern. The Cottonwood Bridge is a single lane bridge that's down at the end of the canyon. It is the main access to the West Tavaputs Plateau that Bill Barrett and now Intervest is still working on. The bridge is so narrow that the industry traffic that crosses that bridge oftentimes cannot pass over the bridge and actually fords the Nine Mile Canyon Creek, which is really not desirable. And there have been times when industry traffic has actually got hung up on the bridge and damaged abutments and a guardrail that's along that. Additionally, in the wintertime, when fording the creek is not possible, we're afraid that, you know, if industry traffic was to get hung up on that, we wouldn't have emergency capabilities for those services to get up onto the West Tavaputs drilling field. So we'd like consideration for those items. Speaking to the salt storage facility, Nine Mile Canyon is a very remote location, and as we've seen improvements in the canyon with first the Phase 1 project and now the Phase 2 project, where we've been able to put a hard surface on the road, we also realize that at this point we need to reevaluate our safety plan for the Nine Mile Canyon corridor to be able to allow energy industry to continue to flow between Carbon and Duchesne counties and up onto the West Tavaputs Plateau. We realize that our old methods of taking a patrol down the road and winging off the snow, and then it's going to take a little bit more than that now. What we've realized since we've had a surface that we've had to plow for the last couple of years is that it takes about 3 hours of turnaround time for one of our county road crew salt trucks to, once they run down the canyon so far, they run out of salt. And then it's a 3-hour round trip to get back with more salt to continue those snow removal efforts. I think that that pretty well sums up. We do have energy industry partnership with Intervest. They have identified a location, their property, that they are willing to put forward so that we can put this salt shed up. So these would be our requests for consideration.
Have they made any financial commitment?
No, they've allowed for access and the property for the facility to be built on.
This always goes back to the Clinch Pond Road discussion. Private sector came in with $12.5 million.
So we'll go to the board.
Commissioner Key. Mr. Chairman, and as I ask this question, it's not that again close to the project, but I do go back to the very beginning of what you indicated. Typically, you know, if there's funds that's left over, it does come back, you know, as a new and a separate application. And so I'm curious why you're not doing that. But if we are going to look at it, I think you have to look at somewhat like a new application. A lot of times when we do this, we just do the exact same terms and things. So you might want to be able to do
But we have always asked on projects, particularly where there's a significant overage, that we gave more money than was needed to do what was asked. The money is returned, and the applicant is then welcome and encouraged, rather than just treating this as though it were part of parcel law. It's totally different. However, based on council's decision, we brought it to you. So that it's your disposition as to what you want to do, whether it be now or whether it be later after they complete an application. So it's really up to the board. The appropriate motions would be to either approve this as requested or to request them to return the money and make an application, and then we would review that in the normal fund cycle.
One thing that I would add that wasn't brought up, because I am from that county, I have to obviously not take that role. But these are the funds that would have been left over in the grant portion of that block this last time.
So what were the original terms on this?
They were $6,500,000, 15-year 1.5, and $9,750,000 in this particular.
Yeah, it does come back as all grants, so the loan is always spent first time. So, okay, Mr. Chairman, Richard, and then...
Yeah, if I can ask a question, how come these weren't in part of the original project? It seems like you knew the bridges were there, they were narrow, they were problems, why weren't they just included to begin with?
That's a very good question. I mean, the 9 Mile project was a very big project, and it encompassed a lot of different cultural and just a lot of different aspects.
We did want to include that. The estimates that were brought forward at the time would have, you know, funded, would not have been able to fund those two bridge projects. However, with the favorable bidding market that we had and tight control during construction, things just fell into place and our project came in under budget. We would have liked to have known that beforehand, believe me.
So I guess the question is, why weren't they included even if it would have been a $40 million request for the whole 9 Mile canyon rather than 36? Why wasn't it just included?
Go ahead, Brian.
I'm going to answer that. Back in the original master planning process in 2009-2010, the counties were working toward a fix that would have included the bridges. At the time, there was a lot of urgency to address the dust situation along the road, primarily to allow Bill Barrett to proceed with development on the west half of Woods. And there was an offer from Bill Barrett. You know, it's been mentioned that industry did participate in this project to the tune of $10 million. And in those budget decisions, those discussions, that amount of funding didn't have enough funding capacity to include these bridges. So then it fell back to the original intent of the project, which was we had to handle the dust. We had to be able to control that so that the cultural resources issues could be dealt with so that production or exploration and development could proceed.
Actually, the first request was, the offer was $10 million from Bill Barrett. The legislature said, directed us to put $5 million in, but we'd already committed $5 million. So this board put $10 million in. So the first tranche on this was $20 million. Then the county came back and said, let's double down. We want another $16 million. So your question is still a very relevant question. Could have been dealt with, but this board now has, right now, we've committed $26 million into this project. So it's not like this is new stuff for us. Commissioner McKee?
Mr. Chairman, I would like to mention kind of two options. One would either with this denying having come back with a request to re-grant. Is there a third? Let me tell you what I'm wondering about.
Go ahead.
what I wondered about, because if they were coming in with a new application, you know, likely, and this would all be, because this request would all be as grant, but likely the best they would get would be something similar to what they've had with that new request, you know. And sometimes we have under supplemental, under the same terms and conditions as the original. Exactly. My question is, if we were to approve the request, do we have the latitude to not just give it to them in the full grant, but under those percentages as we can discuss?
You have the latitude to do whatever you would like to make a motion for.
I would like to make that as a motion.
To have the $2 million, let's see, we're looking at $2,520,000, essentially be 40-60, a 40-60 split loan, so that means it would be $1,500,000 in a loan and $1,020,000 grant. Is that the motion?
Yes, it would be that, what is it, 1.5%?
Yeah, 1.5, 15 years and 1.5%.
Yes.
Second. It's moved and seconded that we fund this today. Is further discussion on the motion?
My other question is what's the accumulated total out of all this? I feel like I'm in a rabbit warren somewhere.
$36 million on the entire project. But we've got $26 million in the private sector. Now, part of this is loan. Carbon County is on the line for a good percentage of this.
So out-of-pocket resources on our part, do we end up with a bigger deliverable then?
Well, actually, that was the words natural resources were mentioned. That was actually one of the major concerns, because by doing this, this makes this much more of a thoroughfare than a county artistic road. But yes, that's exactly what we would do.
In order for this to go that way, we'll have to recapture what is remaining, and then we'll re-grant what he suggested. So it's not that it will have to have a new PJM and a new closing.
Further discussion on the motion?
We're moving towards that. I have a question on the storage facility. Is that just an outdoor shed for salt? Or?
Yes. It would house a loader, and it would house salt and sand. So that when the truck, when the snowplow gets down to the point where they're out, they can go to this facility, reload, and continue with their snow removal efforts.
Because where I was going, a $360,000 shed is quite a shed.
There's contingency built in there.
Quite a bit.
Thank you. Proposed budget or probable budget, it was $2.6 million, or $2.52 million here. What if we have a $2.9 million project? The green climate has changed, the world's different. How are you going to fund the balance?
Carbon and Duchesne County will pick up the rest of it.
Further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
There are hungry contractors out there today, I guess.
We believe so.
And Jay Potter is abstaining. Okay, item number five. This is the second trimester 2015 set aside balance. It is recommended that $7 million be placed into the infrastructure fund, which is the rounded amount of money remaining, which still leaves plenty of money for any other projects. Yes.
Make a motion to go ahead and make the amendments.
Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
All right, Bruce Adams, second. So now, before everybody gets excited here, the actual fund is not finished yet. Tom, you go ahead.
Basically,
we're setting it aside now. Once the fund is set, next meeting, we'll move all of the money from the 57.9 into a very specific ratified account.
Mr. Chairman, you do have in process rulemaking process in order to create the set aside within your funds. And you will restrict access or restrict somewhat your ability to use those particular funds. That rule has not been completed. It's not gone through the process. So this separate account balance within your account doesn't exist yet. So it's more problematic to move something in where it doesn't exist yet. You do have in the statute and rules complete discretion and ability with regard to prioritizing projects, prioritizing money. So if you don't spend the money, you don't spend the money for the sake of the account. I would encourage you to wait until you actually create that separate accounting process before you try to move funds into it.
We're actually not moving it into an uncreated fund. What we are doing is actually within our minds, where we all have file cabinets, we are moving the funds into one of those file cabinets in our minds. And thus, on our summary sheet, it will show the actions of the board. Those actions, as Tom indicates, are not final yet until that fund is actually created. We actually anticipate being able to do that at our next meeting. But this is a motion as requested by the board in our discussions previously, that if nothing else, we're putting it in our in a different file folder in our minds. Candace will reflect that on the sheet, and those of you that need to have it added for you, we can do that also. So I understand exactly, and Tom is exactly right. So this is about to have it set aside in your mind. So is there further discussion on that?
Just a question on timing when it comes together in a compacted form. I believe that the rule was just published February 1st. So we have a 30-day comment period. When your next meeting is in March, that will be after the 30-day comment period. So if you'll look to see if there were any comments, see what the world's eyes have done to your proposed project. At your board meeting in March, if you have no problems or concerns based upon the public comment, you'll be able to set a date for the effective date of that rule. Unfortunately, under the statute, it has to be more than 7 days after that 30 days, so you'll have to make the rule effective after your March date. So you won't have a board meeting with the rule in effect until April.
So basically, keep your minds open, okay? We'll get there when the bureaucracy allows us to get there, but at least we'll be able to someday get there, right?
Just a clarification again. We said there's 7 million left. Are we going to have what fund sources that's coming? And I think we saw we were going to have what account is that going to be a breakdown
for? We can do that.
Yeah.
And we haven't done a breakdown yet because this is just a file folder in your mind.
But that will
happen. Oh, absolutely. We'll know where it's coming from. We'll know exactly where it's coming from. And also, dollars are fungible. As a result of that, if we don't like where they came from and need to readjust, we can readjust. And those are things that really the staff can work on.
There is an
answer
on the
chart.
This came out of the
mineral lease funds. Okay, thank you for that. We have a couple of other issues that we need to discuss. And
did we vote on that?
We didn't. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? See, my file folder sometimes really misses out. Anyone who's seen my desk recognizes that. You have in your folder an application submittal list. And it's this sheet right here, projects for the next trimester. These are the ones that come in. There's two or three things that, as we look at this,
It looks to me like from the number of projects that we could do this in two meetings rather than three meetings. So we would have meeting one would be some month, and meeting two a month, and then we'd have the funding meeting. We have requests from all counties, all the AOGs, and requests for public land resource management program plan. It looks like a lot of work, but quite frankly, what we're waiting for is to see what the legislature does. We know what the requests are. We'll see what the legislature does, and those seven projects will probably be able to be treated as one project when the time comes, or at least with some modifications, perhaps. So I would recommend that we really only do two meetings. So here's, now we have decisions. Number one is that we were planning to go to a March meeting in St. George. Every year we forget, that's the last week of the legislature. Richard has a hard time coming, and the rest of you don't really want to come because that's one of the last 3 or 4 days. So it might be better to not go to St. George in March. Is there any agreement on? We have it all set up, but I mean, this is the same problem we run into every year, and we need to be better thinkers about it to do it. Is there any feeling on this? I know, Nagi, that you'd like us to come, and we appreciate that, and we'd be happy to come. Maybe we could come in August or something.
Just a question on that. I'm just thinking ahead a little bit. I don't see when Easter break is. Sometimes that affects some. I don't know if we would come up and chat in April.
Well, I won't be here for Easter break.
Okay, so
Easter's up to that break. Well, it actually, Easter is the 3rd, 4th, which is the first Sunday in April, and vacation time, if you're looking for children and everybody else, is the week before and the week after.
So some that may be
possible. So the meeting is April 4th, 2nd. Oh, no, that's right, April 2nd. No, weekend's the 4th. I am here.
So I guess the question I was asking about going along with the rule issue, you know, can we look at maybe meeting the second week in March rather than the first week if we want?
But the question,
that's the last day.
Right? That's the last day. The question is which months you want it in. And if you want it to miss April because of Easter.
It doesn't matter here.
But we have our choice here. So we could have it March, May, June. Or April, May, June. Or any other iteration you want to
in light of the public lands incubation that's going to take place, I think it would make sense to do it after the legislature's over, April, May, and June.
The public lands?
Public lands, yes.
That wouldn't necessarily affect what we're going to do because we put the agenda items for the public lands issues in June. So under any circumstance, we will not discuss those until after the legislature is. All right. How many of you want to meet in March? Let me see your hands. Richard wants to meet in March. Okay. How many of you want to meet in? You have to pick two. Otherwise, if you don't pick two of these and I don't get can't count the votes, Candace will tell us when we're meeting because she has distinct opinions. How many of you want to meet in April?
What does Candace want to do?
All right, April's good. How many want to meet in May? So it looks like the meeting that we would not meet on is in March. And actually, that's good because we do have some projects that are going to need some background on it. So that's not bad. So what we will do is we will cancel our March meeting and we will not go to St. George as a result of that. May we take that under advisement and get back with you, okay?
Gordon, we will have a March CIB meeting, but it will be here.
there will be no March CIB meeting. Are we enough in advance on that, Mr. Roberts? Okay. That means we can't clean out our file cabinets until May.
We can
clean it out.
We only need 7 days. Can I just, I appreciate, and I apologize, I can't, your name, how do you say it again? Nagy, thank you. I appreciate, his push to St. George, and it made me realize that I've been negligent. And so, I just want to remind everybody about the Energy Summit in September. There's an interest this board has in the fact that we funded a conference center, and so we want to make sure everybody kind of doing this. So.
This is the second Thursday.
This will be in Vernal. Yes, second Thursday, the 10th of September.
10th of September. Those are always very good. I do want to bring one item to your attention in meeting number two, which would be in May. We have a request from Bluffdale City, which is in Salt Lake County, for a new city hall of $7.5 million. So that will be before you that day.
I didn't pay attention to what you said. I wanted to make sure I heard.
Well, you got your eyes up.
Yeah,
I got your eyes up. Bluffdale City. Salt Lake County, new city hall, $7.5 million.
No, I won't question
that. Because of what Mr. Roberts says, it's on your agenda.
Don't tell me it's Curry Grand only.
No, they want 2.5% interest.
Okay, let me do this.
Let's see how much mineral leasing money is coming in over the next few months.
Okay, Candace has, let's see, you want to talk about the tutorial schedule?
Yeah. We go around the state in the spring to do tutorials, which is usually for applicants, but I would kindly suggest go to the website and look at the tutorial schedules where we come to your area and attend a tutorial. It will be very beneficial to the board as you are receive clarification about the rules. So please note that it's on the website. It will be coming to a theater near you. And it only takes about an hour and a half, so please just come there. Of course, we really get into the nuts and bolts of the policy meeting, which is coming up. But this is also very good to hear what you as a board can hear what we tell applicants. And you can understand.
Are there any further items for the board?
As we look at this sheet and we figure out cash flow, I mean, going back to our discussion that we have in the grant account, do we do projections out trimester by trimester or year by year? And if so, with the changing energy picture, should we not have some kind of scope about what that might end up with?
Yes and no. And the reason for that, yes and no, is clearly I think that you can anticipate a form of, I'm sorry, Keith, I forgot. I think that we can anticipate a slowdown in the pricing. And that was one of the reasons why I brought up a question on some of the projects. Basically, all that we do is we push forward questioning on that. The other issue is when communities repay bonds, make payments. And the other issue is a very political issue, which we may not see a change on for another couple of years, and maybe not even after that, and that is the rate at which leases are levied. Of course, if the price is this way, leases would not be quite as interesting as still it means. There are people with some long-term vision on this. So
We try and do it, but we don't really come public. We've always been able to fund everything.
There is kind of a high bound view, maybe even a low bound. I think if you range so much, we look ahead. I think what helped the applicants tremendously. You know, we're up against it, but we're up against it in terms of the filter that we use.
The real filter is how you vote. The real filter is how you vote. The discussions we had today were your real filter.
Are you resisting my suggestion?
We will discuss it at the policy meeting. I'm not resisting your we're not prepared to make sophisticated projections.
More will come.
Excuse me?
More will come on this topic.
Good. We'll have it on the agenda for the policy meeting.
Commissioner Chairman, I'm just feeling since we did have a pretty good group this year, I think everybody pretty well recognizes that prices are half what they were. Prices being half what they were, it's not too hard to realize what the revenues are going to be.
Half what they were.
Half what they were.
How long did that take effect? Does it do it immediately?
There's some forward contracting with some of the companies that were contracted at $90 a barrel, so it doesn't happen overnight. How long does it last? That's the other question. So that's where it's and I think Sherman said this very accurately. The executives of the companies got the notes. I was in a room where they said none of us, not one of us, saw this coming. Their lowest projections were $80 a barrel. So when we try and say, is this group, what's it going to do for next year? I think Wall Street will have to know that themselves.
We have one other item on our agenda, and that's that I would like to invite Keith Eaton to make a presentation to us. And he will introduce his wonderful staff.
Wonderful.
Well, that's what he told me to say.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Board. It's good to be with you. For the record, my name is Keith Eaton. I'm the Director of Community Development and Planning. This is Mike Hansen. He's our Senior Planning Consultant. Let me introduce the rest of the team. We have, if you'll stand up, Paul Moberly. He's been with us 4 days now. Directly behind me, we have Shannon Ellsworth. And then over here on the side, we have a planning intern, Dallin Hutchinson. We also have three other interns that aren't here because they're enrolled in school right now. Approximately a year ago, this board authorized the Rural Planning Group, and we've been diligently trying to build a team and decide how we can best serve rural Utah. We appreciate the board's vision in seeing that there is a need to invest in the resiliency of this state, and that planning plays a key role in that. Our goals are to help you as a board and to help the applicants as an extension of that submit applications that will be beneficial in that regard. It's also to facilitate communication among different entities, especially those in the rural sectors of this state, and to provide those rural municipalities and entities with the technical assistance and tools that they need to do proper planning. As you all know, we spent a good portion of the last year working on our coal study. I believe you all have copies of that. We do have a couple new board members, so if you do not have copies of our coal study, we brought several. So anyone that would like a copy of that, we'd be more than happy to provide you with that. The information is also available electronically on our website, which is ruralplanning.org. We're working on a number of things currently. Most of those are, again, items that you might call a toolbox or tools for planning. We're working in a number of communities that have come before the CIB board and requested planning assistance, and rather than actually giving them the funding, this board has given us the opportunity to work with them. Foremost among those has been the town of Nibley, where we're doing a general plan. We're also currently working in Bryanhead. We did not select these communities. These are communities that came before the board. And as we work with them, what we're hoping to take away from that and our key objective is to, again, prepare the tools that we'll be able to use in each and every community of the state that needs assistance. I'm going to turn some time over to Mike to talk in more detail about some of the other things that we're working on, and we'd be happy to answer any questions that the board has about what we're doing and how we're doing it. Mike?
Thanks again, Mike Hansen, Rural Planning Group. What we thought we would do is just take a few minutes of your time to give you a bit of a report on the type of work we're doing moving forward. We gave ourselves kind of a deadline of this summer to have more deliverables out for you to understand kind of how we're helping rural Utah. When I was kind of recruited or asked or talked to or bribed or whatever the word is to come do this type of work again, the question was, Mike, don't you want to go out and help rural Utah? I said, sure, help rural Utah do what? He said, go ask rural Utah. So, I mean, that was about as much of a mandate as we got. And so as we've been out over the course of this last year and listening to some legislative conversations, some, you know, local leader conversations, and even some nonprofit groups, we think we have some projects that will make a real difference. To just go through a few of them, there are original projects. These are things that we do, you know, just in-house. We're not really partnering directly. You know, it's something we're doing kind of staff projects. One of the most significant ones, I don't want to pick a favorite. I got guys sitting right behind me. But I'll use an example. The County Resource Management Planning Toolkit. Those on the county side might remember that back in, 06 or 07, Governor's Office of Planning and Budget made a big push because the forests were doing all their plans simultaneously. The governor's office was asked to help counties, you know, bridge that gap between local and federal. And so we ran around trying to get county resource management plans in place. 16 counties adopted them at the time, most in the targeted areas, for better or worse on the impact. Just to let this board know, we started scoping out and really thinking that might be something we needed to do before the question came up for the legislature this year. So we hope to be, you know, ahead of the curve a little bit on planning needs, even if it's only a little bit. We want to make sure we're there. There's an ordinance library that we've put together in the past. We want to dust that off and sharpen that up dramatically. That is being used by local planners, but not always in the best way. So, again, we've learned some lessons from the first iteration. We want to build a second one. The second types of projects we wanted to do are projects that support the board we see directly. In other words, the customer of this project is the board. The question the commissioner brought up about, you know, what happens if oil goes down to 50 or whatever and stays there for a period of time. We've been thinking about that, and we looked around other state agencies, you know, the governor's energy office and so forth, and nobody's really put out a thought paper of what the so what. Everybody knows what the dollar price is, but it's so what to the local community. We have somebody researching that right now, and we hope to have something published fairly soon. In general terms of, you know, not where oil is going to go, but just what does that do in Utah. The other thing is applicant support. This is a new initiative that we wanted to do where we as planners aren't necessarily strong on the accounting side, where we know whether the application is accurate that you guys are reviewing. But maybe we could go help an applicant sharpen up their message before it comes to the board. And so that's something new that we want to do, not necessarily advocating for the applicant, but just helping them compete better by sharpening their message, I guess is what I'm trying to say. We think that's going to be more and more important as the belt of CIB is going to tighten a little bit, you know, in the coming year with the downturn. And then that last piece is a web page that we thought would be CIB specific. We thought that the great landing page that the department gives us is effective, but we can probably do some other things, showing your past projects and another way for applicants to see what you've done in the past, you know, what good projects look like, and, you know, things like that. Lastly, we have partnerships we're grooming out in the community with other planners. We know we're not the only ones in the state. We know we're the best. That's on the record. But we know we're not the only ones. So we're partnering with Envision Utah and talking to them about how they can do better in rural Utah with their scoping and the data gathering they're doing. The imagery that you might have heard about recently, this aerial photography that the state has purchased, we're a big partner in that. We're leveraging that partnership to build tools so that GIS capability is available for free anywhere in rural Utah. The same types of tools that you see in some of the other counties on the Wasatch Front. That's kind of a fun thing that we're working on. Utah State, we have a couple of partnerships there. And again, working with the Association of Counties with resource management planning. We were approached by the governor's office of recreation, outdoor recreation, because they say there's this funny thing about recreation and energy development, say in the southeast corner of the state. They wondered if we could do something to help facilitate the conversation. That's a new thing. We did not seek them out. They called us. So anyway, that's just kind of a snapshot of what we're about. We're very open to any input and direction from the board. But again, our mantra is, how do we raise the bar so ultimately the applications that are coming in down the road, you know, that bar is raised in rural planning so that the applications that come before the board are as strategic as they can be. So, anyway.
So, thank you. Any questions?
This is probably an inappropriate comment, but I'm going to make it anyway. Will you remind the governor's office of outdoor recreation that in southeastern Utah we need facilities to go to the bathroom?
Yeah.
And all of it.
Absolutely.
All the area down there.
To that point.
You're not safe for us down there.
To that point, though, that's one thing that we talked about with Outdoor Rec. You've seen the tourism hitting Moab, and the infrastructure impact on Moab proper, the municipal, is incredible. They talked about 1 million visitors in Arches 2 years ago, 1.3 million last year. So 300,000 more people went through that park. The city is bursting in those peak times. But then our team looks at it and says, well, what happens when gas prices are half what they were last year when you hit 1.3 million? Does that make sense?
Did they tell you how many visitors that stay in Moab go into Canyonlands and San Juan County?
We should probably ask that. The whole regional concept you guys talked about earlier, that's the kind of thing.
We would really like to cooperate with those folks down there.
Oh.
Project.
Jim?
This is, I think, quite important and very timely, you know, as we take a look at these public lands policy issues and planning that takes place on a county basis, back around the DALGs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we have an idea of what our alternatives are as to what we can suggest in the way of economic opportunities, so that if in fact we can treat those lands for outputs, employment, you know, community tools, if you will, back to the 2004-05-06 fiasco with the Forest Service and that mining effort, it was stillborn because those guys ran out of gas, they didn't really want to face up to those kind of issues.
Right.
Biopolitically interesting. Mm-hmm. So I would applaud this effort. You really need to kind of just take the lead and push some of that through.
I think one of the things that we're seeing is that when we came to the board and asked for support to do this, is we have somewhat of a limited scope. And the reason for that is that we have to be very careful politically that we not expose our scope. The scope is now becoming more exposed. And what's interesting is that the groups and organizations that didn't know we existed are now seeking out, like areas out of the governor's office and really across the board. And what this planning group eventually will do and is doing puts these issues even closer to the forefront of many people's dialogue, so that it makes it so that we can have a greater impact and this board becomes even closer to the middle of it. So this team is doing well. The caliber of the employees that are coming are all tops. These are all very top level. In fact, I don't think there's everybody has a master's degree or is close to it.
Close.
In one of the key areas. So it is it's a top group, and we expect some high quality work and to have an impact on the work that we do. We hope that there will be.
The only thing that
I guess this, I thought the meeting was over there. is that Mike, in his listing, needs to reorder his priorities, and that's the number one goal of this group is to meet the needs of this board.
Oh, yeah, of course. Probably all.
Anyway. Any further comments that you would like to make, Richard? We'll go to you.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I'm ready to point out that I taught Michael everything.
It's true.
When I was at the governor's office of planning and budget, Michael was the planning of planning and budget. And so he did a tremendous job then, and I have great confidence in his ability to provide us great work and service and what he's doing with this group.
Appreciate it.
So you're implying that Mike Hansen had no sense of humor before he met you?
I
still kind of bad.
Greg, and Keith, I'd just like to say to your staff, when I've had any interaction with them, it's been very responsive. And you look at their website, and they're, I mean, it's quality work, and responsive to the staff is really good.
Thank you for that.
Claudia?
Well, I'm a firm believer in planning, so I'm glad to see us taking on this additional dimension, if you will, on the planning. Mm-hmm. I just have a question about the mapping. Are you aware of, I can't find out information about just what that mapping is going to encompass at the state is working on. Is it going to be just down highway corridors? Is it going to reflect into public lands areas at all? Or is it just
So are you talking about the map, what part of the mapping, the actual aerial photography?
Mm-hmm.
Every inch of the state is what we were told.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's so interesting to us. I don't know if you remember, but I think it was the last meeting before, there was $42,000 appropriation as part of one of the projects for aerial photography. Doesn't need to happen. I mean, it might in a much smaller case, but you can now go down to 6-inch resolution anywhere in the state. Google's missing one piece of the state, and it might be like the center of the Great Salt Lake or out in the test range or something like that. But they said it's a part no one's ever. Yeah, because the drone keeps falling out of the sky or something. I don't know. But any part of the state. Yeah. And what our team wants to do, we found that there are data layers all over the place, but they're all over the place. If we could put them all in one spot where a local elected official, developer, whoever, CIB applicant, can just click on a web browser what layers they want to see. I want to see parcels, I want to see roads, I want whatever, the aerial. They can do that, and they don't have to have sophisticated software. They don't have to have training. That's the tool we're building. So.
I know that other states have this. In fact, I've used Colorado's in the permitting oil wells, and it's so helpful. A novice can do it very, very quickly. And even for hikes, Greg, you can do it for hikes. Okay, any other questions or comments from the board? We will not meet next month, but we will meet at our regularly scheduled time in April, May, and June. Thank you very much. Where are the meetings?
Here, and then in Price.
Here, in Price.
Here.
So if anyone wants to make a motion, before you can just back up.
We adjourn.
Thank you very much.
Jeff, Mike, thank you.
Oh, take a moment. Thank you for your help.
Yeah, John. Okay, nice to meet you, Paul.